There we go. Thank you. He has to do it every time I get up here. So, first of all, I'd like to express my gratitude that I'm allowed to serve as one of God's servants, as a shepherd here at this church, for you fine people, and I really appreciate all the words of encouragement that I received from you. Appreciate your thoughts and your prayers, and you'll never know what that means when you get a call or a card or just a stop in the hallway and saying thanks. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being such good examples and for all that you do for me. We'll start with the financials, 2018 report to the congregation. I'm hitting the wrong button here, aren't I? Okay. As you can see, from 15 to 16, our contributions were fairly flat. Since then, we've had a 5 to 6% increase annually from 16 to 17 and 17 to 18. So cumulative increase about 11%. Our regular contributions for the last year was roughly $3,945 a week for $205,000. Special contribution for the African Saints that we've collected here of almost $17,000. And then Charles has worked on this tirelessly, I think, for years to get IRS refund on a mistake that was made. And if you've ever dealt with the IRS, you'll know that was a real yeoman's job to get that back. Total contributions or total income, $223,000 roughly. We had expenses, including the benevolence for the needy saints, $215,000 contributions of the $223,000. We had a surplus of a little over $7,000. That's after spending a pretty good chunk of money on repair of the parking lot and other expenses that we've had. So we've had an increase of that $7,300 from year-end 17 to year-end 18. The funds that were used in 2018 include Kyle Pope's support. I guess I quit wringing my neck here. Kyle does an outstanding job for us here, and we appreciate the work that he does. We have five gospel preachers that we help to support. We'll go over them in just a minute. We've had two gospel meetings, a summer Bible study, and annual singing. There are some expenses with the summer Bible study and the annual singing, more so with the summer Bible study, a lot of times to bring preachers in to pay their expenses as well as to pay them a little bit for their time. And we think that's a good work, and we've had really good attendance at both the summer Bible study and the annual singings. The men that we helped to support, Javier Palomares, Dumas, and Amarillo, Spanish-speaking, does a good work. And as you read his reports that are posted in the back, it really does your heart good to read those. And, of course, he doesn't speak English too good, so some of his letters you kind of have to work at it a little bit. But he's a fine gospel preacher. Richard Thedford in Fort Collins, Colorado. Warren Schultz that Pat was talking about earlier in South Africa. Derek Chambers in Albuquerque. And Tim Stevens in Kemp. Total support that we provided these men in 2018 was $17,400. In our 2018 gospel meetings, Jeff Trahan was here in the spring, and Tony Mock came in the fall. We had really good attendance at those and participation, and we're thankful for that. Funds, as a reminder, we had two of the three men that went through our preacher training program to be here to lead the adult classes. And that was good to see. We see those men, Jason and Curtis, doing such a good job, and it was good to see them and their families. The classes were well attended, and on the work that's done in this back classroom for these young people, it's great job. A lot of preparation, material primarily, but also in preparing the classrooms for those younger children. And it's such a edifying and uplifting thing to be here, and it's always a joy to watch Trevor in action as he leads the singing. So our budget, we're budgeting for 2018 was $3,800, and our average was $3,945. We're setting our budget for 2019 at $4,000. Now, expenses expected are $4,150. We'll get into that in a minute. You'll say, well, you're not budgeting enough money to get by. Some of the budget is kind of a set aside, if you will, and where it's not money, it's actually expended, but in preparation for some plans that we have. Some of the things that we hope to complete this year, we hope to have this year's building and preacher's house improvements. There's extensive improvements to be made here, as well as a preacher's house, carpet, paint, seating, kind of a phase one. And then there's quite a bit of work to be done on the house that Kyle and Tony live in. And those need to be done. These buildings need to be kept up, and more than just cleaned. Every once in a while, you gotta spend a little money on them. And believe me, we have worked for many months, over a year, at trying to develop a plan for what we can do here to be most cost effective and to be best for this church. And it's one thing I can say about during the time that I've served as an elder here, every gentleman that's served as an elder while I was has the best interest of this church at heart, and that continues. And I'm honored to be able to serve with Patrick and Brady. And I appreciate their good hearts and their desire to serve the Lord and do what the Lord has commanded. Some of these items are included in the budget, paying for some of these, and some of them we'll take out of our surplus. Elders receive many worthy requests for support of gospel preachers around, and it's been some time since we've been able to add one, and we think that it's maybe it's time that we consider adding support for another gentleman or two, and so that's in the budget. We'll add another $500 a month to help take care of that. And then preacher training, we'd like, that's reserved when I said that budget of $4,000, where it's calling for $4,150 needed. The budget includes about $1,000 a month set aside to get prepared to have another a preacher training session. Kyle does a great job with them, and we think that's a good work, and much good comes from that. And so, like I said, we'll add $12,000 annually to the budget for that. We plan to have Bruce Reeves from Conway, Arkansas in the spring, and Brian Haynes, who's been here before from Portland, Oregon, in the fall.
I don't believe I've used this since we've changed. I hope get it right. I'm going to review the statistics from 2018 and just the members and our attendance and things like that. A lot of people from time to time think we're keeping up with you and we're spying on you and we want to know where you're at and what are you doing all the time, and that's not the idea whatsoever. But what we have learned over the history of experience is that one of the very first things that we notice is lack of attendance when people start to have some issues or problems. And it doesn't mean that they're horribly bad and scripturally irrelevant or whatever, but it just some things are going on in their life that they might need some help with. And unfortunately, with being one of the elders, it's kind of like coming to the principal's office. Whenever we talk to somebody about things, you kind of get defensive and are concerned, but we do keep up with statistics, and the reason we do is to help you and to help us know if there's anything that's going on or anything that we need to look into. I would like to say that I appreciate the opportunity to serve here. It is an ongoing process of learning. I've enjoyed working with Jeff and Brady both, and one of the things that I don't think we have on here for statistics is one of the things we said last year we wanted to do was have the opportunity to add men to the eldership and also to our deacons, and we did do this that last year. We added Brady, and he has come in and worked well with us. We appreciate his youth and his ideas and things that he's brought with us, and we hope this continues for a long time. And I would like to agree with Jeff is that I never have worked here where every gentleman that met in those rooms or the offices weren't mostly, or not mostly, totally concerned about what's best for the people that meet here at Olson Park. And we struggle, we make mistakes, but we're doing our best, and we appreciate your support. As Jeff was saying, it is amazing to get a card from a bunch of 3 or 4 year olds or 5 year olds or first graders that actually take the time to say, we appreciate what you do. It really makes you think about it, because there are times we think nobody's really paying attention to what we're doing, but it really does help. And I will say this, I hear more prayers on our behalf from this group of people publicly, and we do really appreciate this, because we cannot do this job without God's guidance. Review of the 2018 statistics. If I don't go through this too fast and get everything going right. We're going to talk about our membership. We're going to talk about the attendance a little bit. And the reason we keep up with this is it does show us some trends. And trends are one thing, and sometimes you're interested in changing trends. So we're going to look at the membership. I guess I'm not doing this right.
I'll drive if you want.
Okay. I'm always happy to sit and let somebody else drive. Membership statistics, we have kept up with them for quite a while, and Chuck does this for us, and we appreciate him doing all this stuff and keeping up with it. We're going back to 2015 here, but we're looking at baptisms, those who have confessed wrongs and been restored to the faith, people that move in and place membership with us, those who move away, and also those who have passed away. My numbers are a little bit skewed a bit, but we'll straighten them out for you. In 2015, we had 3 baptisms. 2016, we had 3 baptisms. In 2017, we had 4. In 2018, we had 3. There's a trend there of consistency. We hope it continues to be consistent, but we're always looking for a trend to move it up a little bit. In restorations, in 2015, we had 1. 2016, 0. 2017 was 1, and this year in 2018 we had 2. So those are people who feel like they're needing help, and they have come to us and want to change their lives and get back on track where they know they should be, and we're more than happy to help whenever we can. The next one are those people who move in. We've had in 2015 we had 11 people move in who wanted to worship with us or come with us. Here, 2016 was 8. In 2017, we had a big jump, and we had some families that moved in with several people, and we appreciate that. But then in 2018, this last year, we only had 8 that moved in. And you would think out of all those who move in, we'd be growing and growing and growing, but we also have the other side of it where people are moving away. We have people who take jobs and people who retire and move on and go other places, but those who moved away, in 2015 we had 9, 2016 we had 8 that moved away, In 2017, we also had 12, and I think that needs a negative by it, people that had moved away. And then in 2018, this last year, we got hit pretty hard. We've had 15 people move away, which were happy when they're leaving because that's what they want to do and they're going on to other things, but it does affect us a little bit, and we do see some trends here. Those of our members who have passed away, 2015, we did not have anybody. 2016, we lost two. 2017, we lost two. And this last year, we lost three. And I believe we had the names on there, yes. Sister Una Ford passed away. Brother M.A. Munden passed away. And Brother W.O. Terry passed away. So some trends that stay fairly consistent. So we look at the entire thing. We had those who decided that they weren't interested in serving the Lord and didn't want to work with us either at the last group. Zero in 2015, we had three folks leave us in 2016. In the last 2 years, we have not had anybody that just told us they were leaving and they didn't believe anymore and didn't want to serve the Lord. When you look at all that information and add it up, in 2015, we had a basically zero. It was no change one way or the other. 2016, we lost five as actual people here. In 2017, we went up nine, and then this last year, we have lost nine. So we do see a consistent trend, as in we're not really changing physically in number. That's not necessarily a bad thing all the time. Hopefully we're growing spiritually and in truth and souls and information, but we do obviously hope and we're wanting to head to the place where we're kind of on an upward trend and growing in size. Is there next one, please, sir? Our attendance, since we started the new format, which it's hard for me to believe that we've already been 2.5 years, I think, on the new format. And what I'm talking about is when we meet in the morning here at 9 o'clock and then 10 o'clock for Bible classes and 11 o'clock back in here. But we do keep up with the attendance. In the first worship, we had 120 the very first year. We averaged that when we did it. Last 2017 was 124, and then 2018 is 122. So we're very consistent on the size of our, the people that are here in the auditorium and listening. Bible classes, very consistent too, 122 up to 121 in 2017 and 124 this last year. So we see a slight uptick there. Second worship, or the 11 o'clock hour here, started off 2016 at 115, 2017 118, and just up a little bit in 2018 up to 120. Wednesday nights are very consistent at 106, 107, and 107, so we still have a lot of people that are interested in studying the Bible and meet midweek, and it gives us an opportunity to encourage each other. And there's many times that I know everybody is tired. It's the middle of the week. Things are going on. But if you'll come, you'll find that you are hopefully invigorated and encouraged, and it helps oftentimes. Our summer Bible study, I think we kind of got a change on that there. 2017, I think it was 105, our average on the three different meetings that we had, and we jumped up to 139 last year. I'm sure it has a little bit to do with bringing back some of our trainees to speak to us. That tells us that we kind of need to find some engaging personalities and people to teach the adult classes also, so we'll work on that and getting people here that you want to hear. And hopefully that will continue. I agree with Jeff. That is a great opportunity. It's every year that I've been here that we've done it. It's, you can't be nothing but encouraged. Proper English there. You can be encouraged with all these kids. It's amazing to see this building right here. And fourth or more of it's filled up with little bitty kids and excited and about what's going on. Our spring gospel meeting in 2017, we averaged 96, and then in 2018, it's 99. So we do keep up with it. It helps us out a little bit knowing what's going on. Obviously, part of our job is to feed the flock, and that's not physically, because if y'all were expecting me to feed you, you would be in trouble. spiritually is the food that we're trying to feed you, and we can't do that if you're not here. And we do encourage you and want to see everybody every time we open those doors, and we hope that we'll get closer to that. I believe that's my last one, is it not? Nope. Our fall meetings, we have averaged 120 and 121. That's interesting. I was thinking that why is it in the fall? Maybe in the spring we have an awful lot of people that are really, really busy, maybe too busy, but in the fall our numbers are a little bit better. Is there anything else? He's shaking his head no, so I can sit down now.
I forgot to mention, I'm sorry, Brady, I'll take a second. We're also working on cameras in light of some of the events that have happened to churches around the country where gunmen have gone in and killed several people. You know, we've tightened things up, and we're going to put cameras in and a monitor, so that is in the works right now. I think we've got some stuff ordered. So that should come about pretty quick.
As most of you are aware, I've only just begun to serve in this role as an elder for our congregation. In some of my prepared statements, I'll definitely replicate some of the things that Jeff and Patrick have stated. It is a humbling and challenging task. Not necessarily challenging because of you. I'm confident we have many members that are very much determined to work and serve the Lord. It's humbling and challenging because of the nature of itself, shepherding this flock. I can say that in the time that I have worked with Jeff and Patrick, I can assure you that those two men, and I love the souls of this congregation, and we serve in this role, as was stated earlier, to help you get to heaven at the end of this life. The things we do are along those efforts. And we thank you for the work that you do. And as was stated, the prayers that we receive by you on our behalf. And we very much appreciate those things. And we ask that you continue to do that. I want to state very simply that we are not perfect. And we are not mind readers. As a shepherd watches sheep, we have the obligation to watch and observe and to learn and to help provide what we think is needed. And we're working to continue to grow in those areas. But very differently from sheep, you have the ability to talk, to express concerns, to ask questions, to express problems that you are experiencing. We'll continue to work to build relationships and to learn this flock even more. So if we come and we talk to you, or we have specific questions, or we ask you, as Patrick said a few moments ago, if we ask you to come and talk with us, please, please do so. And I can assure you that I've witnessed love in these two men's hearts, as I have my heart for you all as well. I feel that God has blessed us abundantly in this congregation, and I know that for a fact we have many workers in this congregation, and I can tell you that as an elder, having the opportunity to see some of these things is extremely heartwarming. Love for others demonstrated in so many different ways. Love for God and in serving Him. And we also see that there's much work that needs to be done. We need more people who are willing to work. So let me say right now that if you have the ability and the willingness to work, there is work for you to do. If you are a member of this congregation, regardless of your age, this congregation needs you to act on and with your abilities. How, you ask? We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a few moments, and much more as this year progresses. I'd like to make a brief statement about our deacons. Today we have 11 men who have agreed to do the work of and serve as elders, serve as deacons for our congregation. In working with these men, I've seen excellent attitudes and excellent willingness to work and to take on challenges, and their willingness to do so and to continue to grow as challenges face them is to very much be commended. These men have assigned duties that have been posted, are available, and those will continue to change and to grow in the future. In 2019, we intend to, and we are attempting to stir up more good works in this congregation, and as a result, the responsibilities of each deacon is going to continue to grow and develop. Therefore, they're going to need your help. They're going to be looking for workers who are willing to help them accomplish the tasks that need to be done. Younger and older and in between will all be needed. In 1 Peter, we see Peter encouraging and instructing Christians on how it is that they should live. When we look at 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, reading there, we find, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, minister it to one another." The New American Standard there reads, "Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so as with the ability which God supplies," or the New American Standard there renders it, "by the strength which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." I do not believe that this passage is only applied to that time when miraculous gifts existed. There's more to it there. We could also turn and look at Matthew chapter 25 or Luke 19 and look at the parable of the talents. And yes, I understand that term, the talent, was a large sum of money specifically there, but I believe that that principle exists as we understand the word in our English language, to using what you have. The elders here today, right now, are asking you to consider how you can do more. Now, let me clarify. We're not looking to just reassign work that's already being done or underway, or to discourage anyone from work that you're already doing, or to say, "Well, so-and-so is going to be doing this, therefore I don't need to," or "They're doing it in a similar way, so they don't need me anymore," or "Oh, they've got plenty of help for that. I don't need to help. Or maybe, "I used to do that, but now there's somebody else doing it, so I don't need to help anymore." If that's how it comes across at all to anyone, please come and talk with the three of us, or one of the three of us, about that. We in no way wish to discourage work that is already underway whatsoever. There is much work that needs to be done, and we want everyone to be involved. In just a few moments, I will be discussing some additional things about a theme that has already begun in 2019, of beginnings. Kyle has already begun a class in Genesis, the beginning of this creation, class in Acts, the beginning of the church. And so today we ask you to consider, in 2019, beginning to do more. More what, you ask? Well, simply stated, more of what you can do. Here's a brief overview of where you may be able to serve, and that list will inevitably be modified over time. You know your abilities and your strengths. The question is, are you willing to grow into something maybe even that you haven't been or done before? Some of these won't apply to everyone, but all of them are fitting. For some, So as we go through these, I ask you to honestly ask yourself, can I serve in this area of work? Evangelism. Evangelism is not simply the work of our hired evangelist. It is not just from this pulpit. But that's one aspect of it. And it may very well be that the elders may ask a gentleman of the congregation to prepare and deliver a lesson from time to time. We know that a lot of work goes into those, and it's something in which we all can benefit. Reaching out to and teaching in the community. Sometimes we simply need more workers to go out into the field. Working behind the scenes and developing teaching or conversion material, for instance. Advertising. Web development. We already have a website that I believe is working very well and is very useful. Between advertising, web development, and social media, these are excellent platforms by which we can share information in the community about who we are and what it is that as a congregation that we are trying to do. Singing. One aspect of that is leading singing publicly. We are blessed with many men of our congregation who are willing to do so now. Let's continue to encourage that to be developed. Teaching and learning the fundamentals of music. I believe that our singing has gone very well today, but I think we should continue to ask ourselves, is our congregational singing all that it should be? We improve by everyone putting forth more effort, not just the song leader. New songs. Not only finding new songs themselves, learning new songs, but reviewing content of new songs that are published. Not everything that is published and accepted or become popular have scriptural messages in them. We need to be careful with that. Regular assemblies of our members in addition to our scheduled services, but getting together to focus on our singing. And then, of course, as I alluded to a moment ago, the willingness of everyone to grow in singing knowledge and ability. And the annual singing service, something that we have done, and as was stated a few moments ago, we fully well intend to continue into the future for the benefits that it brings. Classes. First of all, obviously, teaching classes and assisting where needed. Again, work to be done in reviewing material and selecting material, preparing material to be used in classes. Storing and organizing classroom material. A lot of work that can be done, and I know some is already underway, but a lot of work that can still be done to improve our efforts there. Building and making support materials, as was alluded to. I know a lot of work in the last few years has been done associated with the summer studies, but there's more that perhaps may be fitting as well. Edification. Reaching out to the ill and to the shut-ins and encouraging them in that it's very difficult to do that only while we're just here. Is that something that you can do? Encouraging and working with new converts. Many of us have known Scripture our whole lives. How much work is associated with truly teaching and continuing to teach and edify a new convert? Is that something you can help with? Encouraging children. College age. Or those new to our community. Young women and young mothers. Young men and young fathers. Of course, helping with funerals in the event of death of loved ones. And this one, you say socializing, hospitality and socializing might seem a little odd to some, but regular assemblies of members to facilitate so many things, all of these efforts, but as well as continuing to build love for one another. There are efforts that need to be made and continually and repetitively, regularly made along these efforts. And I think it's ways that we can continue to grow that will show many different fruits in the future. This is by no means an exhaustive list. There are many more things that can and perhaps need to be focused on. This is a work in progress, and it will take time to develop. But our deacons are going to be charged with leading these organized efforts, and some are already doing so. And as those things are decided, those deacons leading those efforts will be posted, and they will be communicated to everyone. And in time, they're going to be seeking willing and able workers of all ages. For more information, more information will be coming, obviously, as we continue to develop these efforts. But we want you to have the opportunity and the understanding that we want you and we need you to serve where you all have unique abilities. What are your strengths? Not your wife, not your husband, not the guy sitting over there. You know your strengths better than anyone else. Therefore, you know where you are capable of working better than anyone else. We were all designed that way by our Maker. We're asking for each of you for your diligence and patience and understanding as we grow together in each of these areas. We're going to be working and growing and learning together. Therefore, unfortunately, there will be mistakes. There will be things that get overlooked. There might be people that have volunteered, but they get overlooked. There will be great ideas that for some reason are not acted on immediately, and there will be things that unfortunately are forgotten because we are all people. So I ask you to share your thoughts and questions and abilities and put forth the effort patiently, and don't get discouraged if things don't go exactly as you had in mind initially. And don't just wait for someone to come and ask you to work. Volunteer. But if someone does come to ask you to work or to try something, we plead with you. Don't just give the easy answer and hope that someone else does it. We challenge each of you to try to serve in more ways in 2019.
Let me say for the members of this congregation, thank you to our elders. We appreciate the good work that they do. We know there are so many things that go on behind the scenes that we may never be aware of, and the late hours that are spent in pouring out their heart and work to the good of this congregation and to glorify our Lord. And we're grateful for these men. We thank them for the work they've done and the presentation they've given to us today, giving us a picture of the year ahead. I want to also thank Chuck. He always will get together a lot of these numbers and statistics for our elders and make them available, and I appreciate the good work that he does. I want us to look quickly at three passages of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Paul here talking about what it means to be in Christ, to be a new creation, to start again, one's life of sin being left behind. One is a new creation in Christ. In a different passage, Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, in verses 13 through 14, certainly talking about a recognition of his past as a persecutor of the church, his past as one in rebellion to the Lord, speaks of a beginning as well. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And finally, Jeremiah chapter 29. Of course, Jeremiah writes at a dark time near the days in which Jerusalem would fall and the exiles from Judah would be taken into Babylonian captivity. And yet, in this dark time, the Lord extends these words that I think ring through the years. And while we live in a different time, nonetheless, I think the same principles are true for us. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Well, as we've talked about, it is a new year, isn't it? And as we've looked over some of the things that have gone on in the last year, there are some changes that have occurred here at Olson Park. Some members that we loved and cherished passed from this life. Others that were members of Olson Park have left, either because of jobs or because of family. Anytime that there are conditions that change, and it's true not only in a congregation, it's true in all areas of life, it's easy to sometimes feel as if things are not as they should be. And yet it's important for us to recognize that in reality, every end that we ever experience ushers in unforeseen and joyous new beginnings. And so the elders this year have chosen as a theme for us to put before our minds and to think about the idea of beginnings. And as Brady's already mentioned and the elders have talked about, there are ways in which each and every one of us can begin to think about how that can impact us. I want to share with you a couple of things that I want to try to do that will put forward this thought before our eyes. And one of the first of them that's already been mentioned is the idea of what we're going to study in our adult Bible classes. I specifically talked to the elders about picking a couple of topics that would echo this. First of all, in our Sunday morning class, we are looking at the book of Acts, which talks to us about the beginning of the church. You know, as we think about, well, what do we face? It's always encouraging to see what the church faced when it began, how it grew, and that serves as a pattern for us. But then in our Wednesday night class, we are looking at, in many respects, the beginning of all things, at least as it pertains to mankind, the book of Genesis, as we look at the beginning of God's relationship with man. And there's so many things we can learn from both of these, and it gives us a picture of starting again, beginning in a number of areas. But I want to also, each month, offer to you at least once per month some lessons, some special sermons that will kind of put this idea before our minds. You know, as I've been a member here at Olson Park, and we'll talk about themes or talk about different things for the year, the challenge is we start off thinking about those things, but then it's always very difficult, isn't it, to keep that in our minds through the year. One thing I want to try to do throughout this next year to help us in that is offer some special lessons. So in February, I'll try to do a lesson in dealing with beginning to be a better you, some of the very points that Brady just echoed. In March, beginning a stronger commitment to the church. April, beginning a mended relationship, perhaps either in relationships among members or relationships within our families or outside of our church relationship. We need to think about, well, how can I help that? We'll talk in May about beginning a new family. There are certainly those that find themselves in a position where maybe they've just married or maybe they are about to have children. We'll talk in June about beginning relationships with new members. Every year, there are always those that will identify with the local congregation or there are those that will be baptized into Christ. And we need to think about as members, how can I reach out to them? What can I do to try to help establish a relationship with them? And we mentioned new converts. When people come to the Lord, We need to think about what does that mean? And as we try to encourage them, we'll talk about beginning life in Christ. We'll talk about beginning to share the gospel in August. In September, beginning to deal with hardship. We live in a world in which we'll face difficulties. And if we have an idea that we somehow are immune to that, we need to prepare ourselves to realize we're going to face some hardships. And in October, we'll talk about beginning to reach out to others, not just simply focusing on our own things, but trying to reach out and be involved in the lives of others. In November, Lord willing, we'll talk about beginning a better life of prayer, recognizing that this is something that needs to be regular in our lives. And then we'll end the year in December by talking about beginning to plan for the new year. That's odd to think about now, isn't it? Because we just start a new year. But if the Lord grants us the time, we will try to address these very ideas, beginnings. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we urge you to make the ultimate beginning. Put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Have the courage to confess that faith before those who are here, and then begin a life of confession to the world of your faith in Jesus Christ. Repent of sin that separates you from God. Turn away from it and commit yourself to do those things that are taught within the Word of God. And start with the birth of being baptized into Christ, in which we're buried, our old life is buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. But we rise from those waters and from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. If you're here this morning, you've never done that. All things are ready and prepared. We urge you to come while we stand and sing.